Please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read two verses this morning, verse 57 and 58 from this chapter 15. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, verses 57 and 58. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then beginning at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning to hear it preached. Help us not waste that time. Help us to hear what you have for us today. Now, Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit as he preaches to us today. Help us to hear what you have for us. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, or either on the internet, I pray that they would settle that this morning before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
I ask that you keep your Bibles open now. Follow carefully with me today. The subject in these verses, obviously, is victory. Look at verse number 55 in your, verse 54 in your Bibles. The last word in that verse is victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 57, but thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory this morning. You know, the word victory in the Bible, as you know, your New Testament was originally given in the Greek language. And the word in here, for the Greek language for victory, comes from a city that a Caesar had built, Caesar Augustus. He got into a battle with someone named Antony and Cleopatra, the queen of Egypt. And they had come to Greece to battle, and he defeated them. So he built a city called Nicopolis. And the city means the place of victory. So that Greek word for victory is that, a place of victory. That city is still there today. We'll bring it up again in a moment in the message. But it's a place of victory in life, where you overcome things. You go through battles and struggles and you come out victorious. Question: do you need victory in some area of your life today? Is it victory over your past? My soul. Pastoring now for 34 years in the ministry, for 38 years, so many people today, it seems like they have no victory over their past. They carry it with them through all their life. Their past has scarred them, shaped them, and unfortunately, in many cases, hardened them. Someone has once said, your past is either molding or shaping you for life, or scarring you for life. There has to be some victory over our past. There has to be. There has to be some place where we actually, listen to me, you actually get some victory over whatever has happened to you and you go on in your life. Call it closure, call it whatever else people put the terminology with it today. But ladies and gentlemen, we are not supposed to live a defeated life. We're not supposed to be defeated because of what happened in our childhood. We're not supposed to be defeated because what's taken place in the past has forever ruined our future. Victory over the past. Maybe not over the past. How about victory over your passions, your desires, your habits, your conduct, your behavior, things that just, addictions, things that we continue to fall to in our lives, or things that are about us that we just can't seem to get over on, a temper or an attitude, something, a passion in your life. Well, you know, the Bible does say we can have victory over that too. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Maybe it's victory over some persons in your life. I got to have all the P's lined up. Preachers do that. persons. By that I mean, you know who I'm talking about. Don't look at the person next to you. Persons in your life, people who cause you great distress. You see, I know what victory for them would be. A coffin. If I got them out of my life, a moving truck, something. That would solve all of my problems. You know the truth of the matter? You know what I have found out about people who cause you problems? When you get rid of them, someone else takes their place. Have you noticed that? Huh? You got one of those pain in the neck neighbors and they move away and you think, my problems are solved. And four college guys buy the house and they live there and party all night long. It just seems like, you know, you get rid of one person who causes you problems and somebody else comes along and takes their place. Can I get a witness on that one this morning? Okay, but wait a minute. The point of getting victory over people doesn't mean you get rid of them. The point is, can you get some victory over living with people in your life who cause you problems? And then there's victory over problems themselves. We all have them. They seem to bunch up at times. They seem to line up at times. They seem to gather at times. They seem to stack up at times. It seems like one time you get out of one problem into another problem. And it seemed like, it's not that life is all problems, but it has a few in there, yes? But there needs to be victory over some of these things. So we're not living a constant defeated life. So yeah, we need some victory this morning. Well, how can we get that? Keep your Bibles open this morning. You see, this thing in the passage of Scripture here about victory gives us some idea. We can know we can have victory. First of all, victory is provided for us. In the context of this whole chapter, we read the last two verses. The context of this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is about the resurrection. How that one day bodies will come and be resurrected from the grave. It starts with talking about Jesus' resurrection. How he died, went to the grave, and rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and death and hell. Then it starts talking about our resurrection, how that one day, everybody in this room, one day, death may come, but you will be raised. No question, it'll happen. Then it goes on to begin down in the verse here, it starts talking about, in verse 54, look at it, talks about corruptible have put on incorruption, mortal have put on immortality. Then it says death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In the last 2 weeks, I've done three funerals and been to three different cemeteries. What a sad moment it is when someone lays a loved one's body in the grave. They're not burying them, by the way. They're burying their body in the grave. But every one of those people knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And did you know something? It just took the stinger out of death to know that we're just here for a moment. It's a parting goodbye, not a permanent goodbye. And we're going to lay a body in this ground, but that's all we're going to put there. And then one day that body, they will come up out of the grave, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be a resurrection moment. And that death has been defeated and death has been swallowed up in victory. Do you know what that means to us about victory over our problems and our past and our stuff, all the P's I gave you? You know what that means? It means the greatest opponent in life has already been defeated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that death is not the end of anything. All that is just a moment, a time, a passing, and death has already been defeated. So yeah, friend, victory has already been provided. If Jesus, and he did, could conquer death, then Jesus can conquer your past. If Jesus could conquer death, then Jesus could conquer your passions. If Jesus could conquer death, then Jesus could conquer those people issues of your life. If he can conquer that, he can conquer your problems. In other words, victory has already been provided by a risen Jesus Christ this morning. But not only that, victory has been provided for us because of the person of Christ. Look at verse 57. Now you need to read the verse carefully as I read it to you. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our programs. Huh? Victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, one person, that's all. Not a bunch of people. Well, yeah, Jesus and... No. One person, listen here, one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where victory comes from. It comes through the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you get to the place where it's just you and Jesus and that's all you need, you'll have victories. Oh, but if it comes to that place where Jesus is not enough... She sang about it this morning, through it all. Through it all. We sing about it being well with our soul, even the most difficult times of our lives. But listen to me, friend, if it's you and Jesus and that's enough, you have the person of victory. You have what you need. See, we don't believe that anymore. We really have come to the place now in our lives where, you know, okay, the Jesus stuff and the church stuff and the religion stuff, that's all well, fine, and good. But hey, I got something that's real in my life I have to deal with. I got someone who is real, and that someone is Jesus Christ. And there will come a day when you won't have anybody but you and Jesus, but when you get to that place, you'll have enough if it's just Him. Oh, the person of victory. That's Jesus Christ. Then there's this partnership. Verse 57. I got all the P's this morning. Isn't that cool? Look at verse 57. But thanks be unto God which giveth us. You know what give means in the Bible? It means a partnership. Hey, He'll give you victory. If you do your part, He'll give you victory. It's not like a gift. You just go on. You just go on about life. Live the way you want. Do what you want. Victory will still come. No. The word give is an exchange. Listen here, and I'm going to show you how you do that in a moment. He says, you do your part, I'll do mine, but I'll give you victory. But you, if you think today that somehow or another victory over past and passions, all that kind of stuff just happens automatically because you walk in the church building, you're sorely mistaken. If you think victory is going to come in your life because you live the way you want, do what you want, and victory should come anyhow. No. You got that from the government. You didn't get that from the Bible. Got a lot of people today who think they should just get whatever they get just because they get whatever they get. No. That's ruining our nation and it's messed up people's thinking. That somehow or another, just because you live and breathe, you should get everything you want. No. It's an exchange. You do your part, God does His part. He'll give us victory. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a partnership, this victory thing. But it is possible, isn't it? Victory, possible, have victory over your past. It is possible. Do you still believe that this morning? Really seriously. Yeah, but see, everything but this one thing. Just that one thing, that's it. But God can do the rest, but not that one thing. In other words, that one thing, whatever it may be, past, passion, all that, whatever it may be, that's bigger than God. Look at me. The one who conquered death, people. Science has yet to cure the common cold and resolve the issue of death. They can't get either one of those. But Jesus did. And since He did, anything in this life is now possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm not preaching the power of positive thinking. I'm preaching the power of Christ living. The fact that He is a living, risen Savior. And if we get to the place where we got problems that are bigger than God, we got issues that are bigger than God, we got people in our life that are bigger than God, you're not going to have victory. But all it simply takes is to step back and say, but remember when a blind man came to Jesus? And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, help me. Jesus, Son of David, help me. And they brought the blind man to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a simple question. What can I do for you? Question. Wouldn't it be obvious? A blind man, what can I do for you? Do you know why Jesus wanted the man to say, I need you to heal me? He needed the man to take one little simple step of faith and say, well, I need my sight, Lord. That's what I need. Don't you get it? It's not Jesus mocking the man, and it's not him belittling his problems. It's Jesus saying, do you really think this is possible? Do you think I could do this? He must still be in heaven saying, you mean to tell me you have no victory over your past? You have no victory over the issues of your life? You have none? And most of us, it's a limitation of simple faith that God is able. And God is able. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, and one more P's here, and we'll get on to the message. This is all warm-up, so we'll get there in a second. Stay with me. Victory is a prerequisite. You know what happens if you don't win, don't you? Now, unless you play T-ball, you lose. I'm sorry, T-ball is the dumbest thing on the planet. Bunch of kids out there eating grasshoppers, nobody keeping score and running around doing nothing. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm sorry, that's not what sports is like. It doesn't make any sense to me. Keep score, winners, losers. And it's okay if somebody loses. Yeah. Losing, don't be good. By the way, don't teach your kid to be good losers. They don't need to be good at it. They need to be gracious at it, but not good at it. Okay? If we don't have victories, we're going to have defeat. We're going to have failures. So this is not like, well, victory would be nice. No, it's not nice. You have to have it now. We have to go at it. America learned something in the sad days or the difficult days when we had to have a war and go against another nation or empire. There was a day when we understood if we're gonna avoid war at every cost, but if you have to have one, then you got to win the thing. Don't fool around. You got to win it. Here, Vietnam was a classic example. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. Vietnam is a classic example of a nation who didn't fight a war to win it. We just got in a conflict to get in a conflict. But we didn't do what was necessary. Let our people do what was necessary to win the thing. We'd have won it. There was no question about that. But you see, look at me. Because if you don't have victory, you have defeat. You fail. So this thing of victory over things in my life, I have to have victory. I've got to. I can't just settle for going on, because if I don't win, I'm going to lose. If I don't win, my passions will overtake me. If I don't win, then these people issues are going to be people issues for the rest of my life. I have to have victory. You got to see it as an essential thing. I played football in high school on a horrible football team. Horrible football team. We couldn't beat the cheerleaders. I mean, it was awful. And thank God they didn't suit up, or we'd have lost to them too. We were worse than the 49ers. I mean, it was terrible. Yes. And after a while, getting beat every stinking game by 4 and 5 touchdowns, it got to the place where it just didn't look like victory was ever going to come. And you know what? It never did. Our coaches would pump us up. Go get them, guys. This is the game. We're going to reclaim the glory. There was nothing to reclaim. We never had any. After about 3 or 4 of those kind of games, it was like, yeah. So I kind of got the attitude of, if we're going to lose this game, I'm taking a couple of those guys on the other side of the line with me. So just kind of turn into, they call me Madman Johnson. We just kind of turn into a one-man wrecking machine. We're going to lose by 4 touchdowns. They're limping back to the bus, okay? Because I'm going to hurt somebody. That's just all there is to it. Because you realize, okay, we lost, but I got a few victories out of the deal. Anyway, illustration. And last thing about victory is it's a passing thing. Look at me. There is no permanent victory. That Nicopolis, that city that Caesar built, was later conquered by an invading army. And you know what Nicopolis is today? What's left of it's still there in the western part of Greece. It's nothing but ruins. It wasn't a permanent place of victory. There are no permanent victories in this life. You and I have to understand something. What's victorious in my life that will work for me today will be there to help me tomorrow, but I'm going to have my partnership with God to get victory tomorrow and see it the next day. See, we're looking for that instantaneous make everything go away thing. Yeah, Pastor, I know what victory of my problems is. No more problems. Are you crazy? What life do you live in? What world are you? What planet are you on? No problems, no problems. If I didn't have any more problems, what would I have? Probably heavily medicated life. Truth is, I'm sorry, they ain't one of those. Everybody, all God's children got problems. Can I get a witness on that this morning? Okay, but now listen to me carefully. See, it happens, yes? But so, you mean if I have victory today, that's all I get? But if you have victory today, that's good, yes? Now I get up tomorrow. See, I got this partnership with God to help me with victory in my life. Tomorrow, yesterday's victory is not going to work for tomorrow. Sports illustration. Teams that think just by their reputation they'll win in a contest are teams who lose. They got to get after it the next time. Victory is a passing thing. It comes and it goes. But we got to realize that it means every day of my life I got to work on this victory with God and helping me in my life. And here's how you get it. Here's the sermon this morning, verse number 58. Look at the verse now. He says what? Therefore, my beloved brother. Number one, you need to be a child of God. Brother in the family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you know when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a child of God? Jesus is your elder brother. God is your heavenly Father. You become a child of God. Now listen, that's where if any man be in Christ comes in, and the old passes away and the new comes. But first you got to be in Christ. You got to have salvation, ladies and gentlemen. You can win victories without God, but you'll never win them all, and you'll never win the victories that matter without Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need salvation, good old-fashioned dose of being born again, whereby, not in a baptistry, not in a church role, but where you realize you're a sinner, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you accept Him as their Savior by simple faith, period. That's it. You need to be a child of God to have real victories. Otherwise, victories, they never come. Otherwise, victories, they come, but then they're never real victories. This is a permanent one. This is one where Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. See, but you said no permanent victories. I said no permanent victories with your problems. No permanent victories with your people. But you get saved, and your biggest problem is resolved, my friend. You're going to heaven. You have eternal life. You have Christ inside of you. You have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, God can change your life, and that book comes alive to you. Oh, yes. Victory. Brethren, my beloved brethren, number two, you need to become steadfast. You know what steadfast means in the Bible? Let me show you what it means. Very simple definition. Here it is. Or, and if you're a good Baptist, it means settle in, sit down, steadfast. You mean you do nothing? No, it means this. You've settled in your mind what you believe and why, that it's going to be God's word. Look at me. God's word, that's it. I'm not testing the winds out here, trying to find out what this guy thinks, what that guy thinks. I'm not taking polls on my Christian life. 8 out of 10 people think, you know what? First of all, 8 out of 10 people don't think. Can I get a witness on that one? Okay, good. Just look at some people, and don't be critical, but you look at some people and you think, now he didn't think about that when he put it. Anyway, that 8 out of 10, no, I'm not checking that. See that book right there? That's my steadfast guide. That's it. I'm not looking for anything else. I got it. I'm steadfast. I'm settled. You can't have victory, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. If you keep changing your mind, you believe it this week, but next week you're not sure. No victory. Sit down, friend. Settle in. The Bible is the Word of God. It's my guide. It's what I believe. It's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to get my answers. All my questions are going to be resolved by what the Word of God says. That's it for me. I'm not looking for anything else. What are you looking for? You got the God of Google or you got the Word of God? What do you have this morning? What are you checking on? Is Snopes the answer for everything in your life, and you got to Snope it all, my friend, to find out whether or not Snopes will tell you if it actually happened and took place, or is it settled because that book right there tells you what's going on? Steadfast, you can't have victory without the assurance of truth, its direction, and its guidance in your life. You can't have it. Steadfast. Number next, that verse, unmovable. What does that mean? That means nothing is going to move me off of what I'm supposed to do. Of course, that's until somebody unfriends me on their Facebook page, which is a horrible thing. It's just horrible. It means you lost an imaginary friend. It means, bear with me, means I didn't get enough likes on my comments. Not a lot of people liked it. And I was doing good till then. And now, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, something comes along, whoop, and you move. This is where you were, and now you've moved. And you know why? It's not your fault. No, it's not your fault. No, it was those people. It's not your fault. No, it wasn't you. Something came in your life and changed the direction of your life. You know what? They may affect you, but nobody makes you go one way or the other unless you decide to go with it. Hey, look at me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Oh, yes. Unmovable. You're not going to let circumstances, conditions, people, situations, whatever it may be, while I was going along and doing what I was supposed to do. Sunday school class this morning, we quoted Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That doesn't mean you don't get your feelings hurt. I probably offended you this morning. If I haven't, give me another 10, I'll get there. Here's the point. It means, look at it, it means you're going this direction like you're supposed to. And something happens, and now you're not going that way anymore. You're offended. You're knocked off track. And you go back to it, and you go, well, you don't understand what happened, Pastor Johnson. It was a very key relationship in my life. And it's not there anymore for me. And I'm sorry for that. And I know it hurts us. It breaks our hearts. Can I ask you a question? What has that got to do with you doing the right thing? You're not unmovable. Friend, once you let, look at me, once you let circumstances and conditions in life change the direction that you're going, get ready for a lot of stuff. Don't you know the devil's smart enough to see that? And if one person can change where you're going, what you're supposed to do, get ready for another one. And they'll be taking stinking numbers like you're at Baskin-Robbins. They'll be lining up out there to get in your way to change the direction of your life because you let them. Don't do that. Unmovable. Then it says in verse 58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what that means? It means you move the boundaries to where God wants them to be. Have you ever told God, I'll do what you want except, well, then you set the boundaries. God, you can have anything in my life except, then you set the boundary. Always abounding in the work of the Lord simply means you just continue to allow God to move the boundaries of your life. He can do what he wants. He can take what he wants. He can give me what he wants. He can move what he wants. If he wants more of me, he can have that. If he wants me to back up, then I'll back up. Whatever he wants. But as long as God's doing it, I'm not setting the limits and the boundaries. God is. Victory comes then. Because you know why? Haven't you figured it out by now? They go to the city of Jericho, mighty, massive walled city, double walls around the city, so thick they ran chariot races across the tops of the walls. And they're supposed to walk around it once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, and give a shout and the walls fall down. That's how they're supposed to do victory. That doesn't make any sense. But that's where God drew the line. He says, you do what I tell you, the walls will go down. And they did. And they parted the Jordan River, and it worked. And they parted the Red Sea, and it worked. And they conquered the promised land, and it worked. And it's amazing how God had them do what he did. Because God set the boundaries, they didn't. When you draw the line where God doesn't, you're going to start not seeing victory in your life. But if you let him, let cause you to always abound in the work. Yeah, he'll move that line sometimes. He'll say, no, now I want a little more in this area. Or I'm going to take a little bit here. Or I'm going to give you a little bit like this. And then I'm going to put this into your life. You let him draw the line. And when you're willing to submit to that and accept it, victories do come, you know. And lastly, he said, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, here's what he's saying. Don't ever forget where victories had come from in the past. God has done a few victories in your life. Would you agree? Hey, has he brought a few victories in your life? Where you saw the hand of God come into your life and help you with. If you've never seen that before, then you need to get on the victory train this morning. To get that thing working and watch it. And when you do, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget what God has brought you through and how he got you through it. Because the next time you face something big, you'll say, well, you know what? He got me this far, and the grace that brought me safe thus far will safely lead me home. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Victories.